Saddle up your horses.
Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walters Show. God bless you all today. We've got a packed program. Oh, my gosh, we've got so much going on. Let's just get rolling. But first of all, if you want to catch the podcast, hit the podcast button on your iPhone, The Robin Walters Show. If you're on Rumble, go to the search bar. No spaces, no the, just Robin Walters Show. All one word. You pull it up. And tell your friends about it. The program is expanding. We're thrilled about it. We've got a lot to cover today. And we are going to touch on, I don't know, to what extent, could Barack Obama become president within 60 days? That's right. Could Barack Obama become president within 60 days? And we're going to cover something going to blow you away, but do not think that this is beyond the imagination of the Democrats. There's no limit to their imagination because there's no limit to their evil. There really isn't. But first of all, I do have some good news. And I've got enough bad news or rough news in this program that we need to start with some good stuff. And the first one is, this intrigues me. But it is that the Latino community, the Hispanic community, I'm not sure, honestly, don't judge me, but I'm not sure I know the difference between Latino and Hispanic. But anyway, they have kind of cooked up their own version of Let's Go Brandon. It is incredible how many Latinos are dumping Joe Biden. A majority, no. But a significant number, yes. And it's just amazing that we're seeing this turn of events, because as the Hispanic community comes over, we are seeing projections of more and more young people dumping the Democrats. You know why Joe Biden has given an executive order forgiving the student loan debt? I mean, there's a significant amount of student loan debt. In other words, Joe Biden is giving to them my money and your money. Where does he have an executive order to just cancel everybody's debts? Why? Because he's trying to buy the young vote back. This is the prostitution. Joe is nothing but a pimp, frankly, with a bunch of prostitutes underneath him doing his bidding, starting with Jen Psaki. And the stuff that she has been saying is just incredible. Just how bad and how wicked and evil. But Hispanics, who generally have a higher morality than your average Democrat, no question about it, they're starting to depart from the Democrat Party, as are some of the young people. The Democrats are so bad. Now, if you recall, maybe you don't, maybe there's no reason for you to recall, but I had a strategy about a year ago, which I mentioned on the air a couple of times, of how to deal with all the illegals coming through, which are designed to be funneled into the Democrat Party. And that is, you start going to the congregations, meaning where they congregate, not church congregations, of illegals. And you start telling them and informing them how the Democrats, when it comes to abortion, are butchers. Right up to the point of birth, or the bill in California, which we covered last week, which would cover the first 30 days. You can kill your child if it passes. Kill your child leave your child to die for 30 days after birth. In Colorado, make sure that you can stab them and kill them and do whatever you need to do right up to the birthing table. Tell the illegals who have more morality in this area how much Democrats hate babies and children. Tell them how much the Democrats love sodomy. Tell them how much the Democrats love queer this and queer that and tranny this and tranny that. And does that match up with your macho characteristics? You see, I think there could be a message at how evil, wicked, and ethically challenged, morally incompetent, debased and debauched the Democrat Party is, that's going to appeal to illegals. In other words, if they're going to vote, maybe we need to try to get them to vote for Republicans by showing them how wicked the Democrats are. Idea? Well, anyway. So they've got their own version, the Hispanic version of Let's Go Brandon. I don't even know how to say it, so I'm not going to, because I don't even know what I'm actually saying. So I better not do that, right? Well, a Quinnipiac poll recently said that only 26% of Latinos, only 26% of the way Joe Biden is handling the presidency. Now, that's an incredible number, isn't it? Now, if you think about the fact that 71 of them supported Barack Obama, 71% of the Hispanic community voted for Barack. Then it dropped to 66 for Hillary Rodham, R-O-T-T-E-M, Clinton. It dropped to 59% voted for Biden. And that was before all the phony ballots came in, but those weren't the product of the Hispanic community. And it's going down so fast that the Democrats are going to have to simply find more ways to cheat and steal another election, because it has been determined, absolutely determined, that they stole the election. If we can get to that story later, maybe we will. It's down to 59%, but now it's down to 26%. You see, they're not actually, the Hispanic community is not really into socialism. They're not crazy about what one party calls here the bewildering definitions of genders. They're not interested in state control of children, and they're not interested in infanticide. So the question is this the opportunity for the GOP, the grand old party, to engage with the Hispanic community like it never has before, as one party said, based on a mutual respect for the American dream? Now, this is really quite interesting, as I saw this from, I'm trying to think who it was. I read this. Gloria Romero, who is the Senate Democrat leader in California, the state Senate, for a long time. And it appears that she's fleeing the Democrat Party. But this is interesting, her take on this. She said that the Hispanics, look, we know how to hustle. We know how to work hard. We can do all this because there are an estimated 4.65 million Latino-owned companies in the U.S., making the Latino business owners the fastest growing segment of this community. It is up 34% in 10 years. Now, what does that mean? Why is that important? Well, the Democrats are anti-business. So if the Hispanic community is growing in their sole proprietorships, partnerships, corporations, in any and all of the businesses that they're running and growing fast, they are running into headlong opposition from the parties that they thought that they were going to hang with for life. No more. Wait a second. You want to tax the guts out of us? You want to regulate us? You want to strangle us with your state control of everything, including our children? We're not into abortion. We're not into infanticide. We're not into genders. God created male and female, and they know that all the other genders were invented by Democrats. This is an interesting time. Combine this with the young that are leaving the Democrat Party. And this is just like Satan. He always pushes it so far that he ends up sort of becoming his own undoing. But I'm not convinced the United States can pull out of it. I really am not. But I want to get on another piece of good news. During COVID, I said that there was a silver lining in the whole pandemic, and that was I could never guess or imagine in my wildest dreams what could possibly kill government education. You need to get your kids, your grandkids out of government education. If you don't, you don't give a rip. I'm sorry. Now you may say, well, I can't afford it. Well, find a way to afford it. Don't take next year's vacation. Skip the new SUV, whatever it is. I do it. I know other people. We are funding heavily into our grandchildren's solid Christian education and homeschooling. You do not turn these precious children over to the monsters that are running the government education systems now. It isn't even education. It's indoctrination, and you know it. And once you know it, you got to do something about it. But what I said about the blessing of the COVID, if there could be one, and there is, it was a giant wrecking ball to public or government education. And the left ran so hard with it. I mean, the LA teachers who want, you know, some promise of world peace, and they want health coverage up to including 15 years after they're dead. They all this stuff they want in order to go back into the classroom. What a bunch of wusses, weenies, and pansies. I mean, the LA Unified School District, goodness sakes, what a pack of moronic demonics. That's right. I didn't think you could be wicked and stupid at the same time, but they are. They're moronic demonic. I don't know what psychological term that is, but that's what I'm calling them. But the blessing of the wrecking ball is that it caused homeschooling to triple. Now, it wasn't a huge triple, but it's significant. It went from about 3.5% to 11%. Now, that was great. That's fabulous. You take 11% of all the kids being homeschooled, that's a pretty doggone big number. But what is really, really cool about this is that with a pandemic declining, with kids coming back into school, the percentage of the kids homeschooling is not going down. It's hanging up there in that 10 to 11% range. Go wrecking ball. Do whatever you want, LA Unified School District and all you other crummy, lousy teacher unions. I've had it with teacher unions. And I'm biased. I taught for a grand total of 4 days when I got out of college. I needed a job. Principal, I'm back in my old hometown. Said, hey, I'll hire you as a substitute. You want that? I said, absolutely, I'll take anything. I went in there and he said, you're going to substitute this teacher who's sick. You're going to teach macrame. So you know what? I don't really even know how to spell it, but could you also tell me what it is? Well, it's an arts and crafts thing. Well, I was babysitting. I'll admit that. I did get a date out of that class. I actually ended up getting, sorry, I did. But anyway, that wasn't why I was canned. You know why I was fired? I was fired because I wouldn't join the teachers' union. I wouldn't join the stinking teachers' union to be a substitute teacher to teach macrame for 4 days. Well, you know what? I don't want to join any club like that. And they have been left of left. Are there some good government school teachers? Of course there are. They're in a distinct minority, and most of them just shut up, and they don't dare to tell who they're voting for or who they're giving money to. I knew that because I ran for office 3 times in California, and if you had to report, let's say, a $25 gift or more, name, address, and so forth to the state, they'd come in with $24.50, the maximum amount that nobody would ever be able to tell that they gave to me. I appreciated this, but I also, we are where we are because people aren't standing up. Okay, Joe Biden gives this economic report the other day. This is how totally and completely screwed up this guy is, and this is going to lead into our story today here of could Obama become president in 60 days. But first, I mean, I don't want to go through everything that you hear on Ingram and Hannity and Mark Levin and all things about how totally moronic and demonic and gutless, wimpish, screwed up, demented, and debauched Joe Biden is. He is a president from hell. People say, well, you honor your leaders. Well, I would if they were validly elected. But I don't honor those who cheated their way into office, who steal an election. What honor is there to a thief? Why would I respect a thief as a thief? No. You come by it the right way. You hard work. I respect the hardworking person. On the left and on the right, I respect hardworking people who earn their keep. Regardless of their political stripes, I have a measure of respect for hardworking people. I have no respect for thieves. Now, Scripture says you don't despise them, but I don't have to respect them. They got to pay it back, right? Well, Joe Biden stole the election. I don't see that I need to honor him, which means that everybody he puts in office, like Ketanji Brown Jackson, and you name it, Pete Buttigieg and all the others that he's appointed, they're all phonies too. They're all there in an invalid manner because Joe stole the election. If the Democrats didn't steal it for him, he would have no authority to appoint any of those individuals, which to me and my way of thinking renders all of those people invalid and without authority. They have an appearance of authority, but they don't have real authority. So Joe goes off the deep end, I mean, every day. I mean, goodness sakes. You know, they wanted to pull the 25th Amendment based on competence or incompetence on Donald Trump, and he's sharp. They just did it because they didn't like him somehow, because he skid down that one walkway, which was wet. They thought that maybe he was losing his faculties. And you've got Joe making stupid, moronic, idiotic, goodness sakes, imbecilical comments every single day, and they don't pull the plug. But we'll get to that in a minute. But he gives this talk the other day, his economic plan. He mentions inflation 87 times. Good for you, Joe. But he mentioned gender 127 times. 40 times more. Not 40 times. Yes, 40. Well, 127. Yes, 40 times more. He mentioned gender over inflation. He mentioned inequality 147 times and emissions 100 times. Well, what is this all about? Well, it's just, you know, all of this is the new Green Deal is nothing more than a new way by which to exercise complete and absolute control over about 57 new aspects of your life. Latinos aren't buying it. They're not looking for more control. No siree. Well, anyway, he goes on and he talks about last year, I'm quoting him, last year alone, extreme weather and climate disasters cost our communities $145 billion and claimed hundreds of lives. Well, this is all about climate change, the Green New Deal. He wants to control every stinking part of our life. Democrats do. Why? They're animated by the devil. You think I get carried away with this? You ain't heard nothing yet. And how do we know that? What did Satan want more than anything else? Control. He wanted to be worshipped. That's what the whole temptation in the wilderness with Jesus was about. Just worship me and you can have this. Do this and I'll give you that. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be in control. Because he doesn't get to go to something. He doesn't get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why he hates marriage. Male-female marriage. Why he loves no-fault divorce and queer this and queer that, queer marriage, tranny this, tranny that. He loves all that stuff. The Democrats are demonically inspired. Make no question about it. And one way to control every part of our life, and 57 might be light, 57 new ways to control us, is through the Green New Deal. That's why everything is climate related. Everything. I don't care if the apple blossoms in Washington, D.C. emerged 4 days late this spring. Climate change is a problem. But you know what? It would be climate change is a problem if they were 4 days early. Climate change is the answer for everything. Excuse me, not the answer, the cause of everything. You know, it's actually very easy to predict what they're going to say is the result of climate change. You want to know what's the result of climate change? anything and everything that's just happening right now. Lots of tornadoes, that's climate change. No tornadoes, that's climate change. Weak tornadoes, climate change. It's that is the answer for everything, although they could not explain any of it. And they're teaching, you got yin-yang government teachers instilling this crapola in our kids' minds. And they come out of junior high now just chanting climate change. They don't know jack what they're talking about. So, let's get down to the details. Can Obama be president again within 60 days? I'm going to lay out a little bit of groundwork here, a little bit more on this. You remember a couple weeks ago when he went to the White House, and everybody was huddled around Obama like five-year-old kids playing soccer, just like this pack of rats that are all about 8 feet from the ball. Nobody's spread out. They just move around in this little hive of bees on the field. It's humorous. It's funny. They don't really know the game, but that's what they were doing with Barack Hussein Obama. And there's Joe, clueless, wandering around in Neverland, wondering why nobody's talking to him, but because nobody wants to talk to him. They know he's nuts. So they all want Barack back in office to save the day. People say, well, that can't happen. Now, we have what's called, going to give you a little lesson here, the 22nd Amendment. This means Barack Obama cannot be elected to office. Right? He served his two terms. It was FDR that pushed the envelope, and we have the 22nd Amendment as a result of his extending his tenure beyond two terms, which was limited not by law, it was limited by custom, and set by none other than George Washington. He said, this is enough is enough. Two terms, time to turn it over, let somebody else do their duty. So Andrea Widberg of the magazine The American Thinker, interesting magazine, she said, quote, Obama is aiming to get back into the Oval Office. But is there a way, and now I'm talking here, is there a way for him to get back in there? So there is a problem if the 25th, or the question would be, why isn't the 25th Amendment being used to get the hook to yank Joe? I mean, he's an embarrassment, right? They're going down in flames in November, unless they can just cheat their way to another victory, steal another one. Wouldn't you think they'd want to get him out of there and bring Cammy, who was really, talk about nuts on steroids. Cammy Harris is an absolute space cadet. I mean, she slept her way to office. She fornicated her way into politics with Willie Brown. We all know that. I mean, all of us that were in California, I was there when she was the attorney general. What a lousy attorney general. But the fact of the matter is, if Biden is taken out by the 25th Amendment right now, who's behind him? I mean, consider this. And like Widberg says, there's only idiots and incompetence to take his place. I mean, if he's gone, then up pops Cammy Harris. But if it's not Harris, who is behind Harris in the line of succession? It would then go to Nancy Pelosi. And then if not Nancy Pelosi, Patrick Leahy, then Anthony Blinken, Janet Yellen, Lloyd Austin, and then Merrick Garland. That's actually the line of succession. Succession. Who follows Joe, who follows into the vice presidential candidacy or spot if Cammy goes to the presidency, which she can't last. I mean, once you get these Republicans in there, they really should be impeaching all of them. So this is what has to happen. It's not Joe that needs to be removed. Listen to this. This is kind of interesting. It's not Joe that has to be removed. It's Cammie Harris that's got to be removed first. So how do you get rid of her? How do you make her go away? Threats? Bribes? Does somebody want to offer? Is she taken out? Mysterious illness? Is she poisoned? Do you pull a Putin and poison her? I mean, I'm not suggesting that. This is what the Democrats need to do. She's even more of a loser than Joe. Hard as that is to imagine. So she's gone. Who does Joe Biden pick as his VP? Barack Obama. You got to figure, well, there's no, I can see him now. He's nothing better than to bring my old pal, my old buddy, Barack Hussein, back into office. Instead of being Obama and Biden, now it's Biden and Obama. Obama can be appointed to vice president. The 22nd Amendment does not prevent him from being appointed by Biden to replace Harris. Now what happens? Biden president, Obama vice president, now they pull out the 25th Amendment. Voila! Biden is gone. Obama is president again. And, of course, he gets to pick whoever he wants, whatever slime bag he feels would compliment him as vice president. You say, well, he can't be president. Yes, he can. The 22nd Amendment only prevents you from being elected to a third term. It does not prevent you from being appointed into a vice presidential spot or succeeding to a presidential spot if the president dies, is killed, or is removed, or resigns from office. I say, well, what's about? Well, Obama's got, what, 2.5 years? 2.5 years to finish destroying this country? It is possible. All of this could happen in 60 days. I'm not saying it will. But you have no idea how incredibly, unbelievably desperate the devil is by way of animating the Democrats to remain in control. And God's letting him do it. We are getting our just desserts. We are getting the government that we deserve. This country has gone down a rat hole. It's like we want to beat every other country in the world to hell. That Guatemalan president, I don't remember his name now, I mentioned him a couple weeks ago, begging practically for the United States to quit pushing abortion on Guatemala and Central America, to quit pushing queer marriage, to quit pushing transvestitism and tranny this and sex changes. You got people who are trying to get into this country from Central America who are way more moral than this administration. Don't go away. We got a lot more. Come back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
We are back. This is the Robin Walters Show. You know, there was a story that got a little bit of news a couple weeks ago about the bird that pooped on Biden on live TV. And the question, was it an omen? Was it a sign? Why would I bring this up? Well, the reason I bring this up is because there is simply no end to what the media will do to cover up anything negative about this administration, everything negative about this administration. If they can ignore it, they will ignore it. If they can try to have to cover it up, they will try to cover it up and conceal it. If they can't conceal it, they'll lie about it. And if they can't get the story across by lying, they'll attack Republicans and say they did it. But the reason I mention this is because the skin on the left is so ridiculously thin. I went through and covered and looked at what the left wing, also known as the mainstream media, did with this story. Either A, they ignored it because it wasn't newsworthy, and maybe not. But there were a number of them that gave this explanation. They said, and I'm summarizing or collectively what I heard from a number of networks, that, okay, yes, he had something drop on his lapel. It hit, and then it spread. It obviously was a plop. You should watch it. You can see it very, very clearly. The mainstream media said this was not bird poop. He was indoors. It was impossible. It was indoors. He was at this large processing plants for corn. And what this was a kind of a corn emulsion of some sort that fell down from somewhere and landed on his lapel. Now, this is literally a pile of crap. First of all, if you look at the interior of this building, and I haven't been in that particular processing plant, I've been in a lot of agricultural buildings. They have really, really high ceilings. There is corn that's processed and brought in. They've got big doors. Guess what happens when you got big doors? You got birds flying in and birds flying out. They can't get in. There are birds in these kinds of places. And why would one stray kernel from nowhere come flying out of something and then shoot its way across the building and land on Joe Biden? I mean, is this what he was talking about when he was talking about corn pop? I mean, I don't even know what corn pop is. I don't even understand. But the fact is, this is the extent to which they cannot, under any circumstance, allow this guy to look like a nitwit, which he is, a moron, which he is, without morals, he has none, no values. The guy called, I mean, people say, well, he's a committed Catholic. No, he isn't. He's a committed liar. That's the only thing he's really good at is lying. But lest a bird pooping on your lapel might be an omen or a sign from above that you deserve to be crapped on, they had to cover it up with this fantastic story about some corn emulsion. And the one guy said, look, it even has a little bit of a yellow tint to it. Hey, pal, go look at some bird poop. You'll find that it's not all white. It is, lots of times, has a discoloration to it. Come on. But this is a meaningless story, other than the fact that you have to know that if they are going to lie and cover up a fact about a bird taking a dump on Joe Biden's lapel, they are going to lie and cover up and do anything and everything possible to steal the next election. You can get no real news from the mainstream media anymore. And you know, wasn't it, I mean, what was it, 7 or 8 times that Obama was harassed by flies? I mean, I remember a couple of pictures where he's giving a speech and there's a big honk and a horse fly just sitting on his forehead and he doesn't even know it. He was harassed. But you know what? This is kind of what the devil does. You're thinking, Robin, you're getting out there ways. I don't really care. The devil will use people, and after having used them, he will then spit them out. He will bug them with flies or poop on them. He doesn't care. The devil doesn't care about Obama, doesn't care about Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, any of those people. They're useful idiots. They're tools. And when he's done using them, he'll have his way with them. Well, state of Pennsylvania, you know, I always thought that this was against the First Amendment, violation of church and state, which, of course, is not in the Constitution, the separation, the wall of separation, it doesn't exist. But the state of Pennsylvania has now decided that they need to get more people vaccinated, and so they are going to start paying churches. That's right. This is taxpayer money going to churches. Hey, isn't that a violation? Isn't that a problem already? Well, it was in every other case I know of, but not in Pennsylvania. The state wanting to has made a big point of they want to reduce vaccine hesitancy. Vaccine hesitancy. They want to reduce the pushback from the no-vaxxers, even though the vaccine is useless, and even the one guy from the CDC said the other day, he said, hey, the fourth booster is practically a waste of time. We just can't keep doing this. It's not working. But does he get any media coverage? No, of course not. So this is what Pennsylvania is doing. We are, they passed the Live Pennsylvania, the Live PA Act called Local Innovations in Vaccine Equity in Pennsylvania. What the heck is vaccine equity? I want to tell you, this is how racist the state of Pennsylvania is. There is a higher percentage of blacks that resist vaccines than whites. Clearly, in that regard, blacks are more intelligent. No question about it. But some of it relates to the fact that in eugenics, they were drugged and sterilized. You can thank Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, which Hillary Clinton thinks is one of the greatest women that ever lived. This is how racist blacks are, right? I mean, how racist Democrats are towards blacks. Knowing that the largest percentage of vaccine hesitancy is in the black communities, is why they dumped $3.5 million into the NFL to get a whole bunch of black players, football players, to try to convince blacks. But what are they doing now? They're paying money to churches, and why would it be vaccine equity? Because they have contended that somehow blacks are disadvantaged when it comes to health care to the point that they can't get vaccines at the same rate, same speed, and efficiency as whites. We know that's a bunch of crap, but that's what the Democrats do. It's what the devil does. He comes to divide. It's one of the 7 things that the Lord hates, right? Somebody who sows discord among the brethren. There's nothing more that the enemy would love to do than to separate black Christians from white Christians. That's what he does. Or blacks and whites generally in society. But in the churches, Pennsylvania has targeted these. I think the black churches. So they have a grant program to pay churches to speak with their people, to persuade them to go out and get the jab. $10 they get for each person-to-person outreach, including direct phone calls, text messages, direct social media messages, door-knocking campaigns, and anything that involves a one-on-one dialogue promoting the COVID-19 shot. Then, that's not all. The church gets another $10 for each person that then gets the shot. So listen to this. It says, they say, Live Pennsylvania is a collaboration between the Wolf Administration Office of Advocacy and Reform and the Departments of Health and Human Services, working closely with the United Way of Pennsylvania to fund hyper-local grassroots faith-based organizations to partner with certified vaccine providers to help the populations they serve overcome barriers to vaccination. Well, what would a barrier to vaccination be in a church? Could it be the Word of God? Could it be Psalm 91, which says that the plague shall not come nigh thee? Could it be that they want the individual pastors to pull Franklin Graham shticks, telling everybody that vaccination is good, they ought to do it, God would be pleased? You know, I like Franklin Graham, but he lost a lot of credibility when he went out on that limb, and that limb busted behind him. Once we know that the vaccines suck, they are responsible for tons of thousands of deaths, hospitalizations, all while the CDC prevents people from getting those things, therapeutics, which actually really do help stop and prevent COVID. So what is that overcoming barriers to vaccination? What's the barrier they want to overcome? Your faith. Your belief in God keeping you healthy. Your trust and reliance upon God and His Word. All the passages that deal with being healthy and being healed. The state of Pennsylvania is paying pastors to overcome the resistance that they have taught their congregations to have to worldly influences and throw in the towel, get the shots, get the jabs, suck it up, do your patriotic duty, even though it is running afoul of some sincerely held beliefs. Wow. Sounds like a violation of church and state, doesn't it to you? Maybe coming to a state near you soon. Who knows? I mentioned this briefly before, but I'm not going to come back to too much. But an 18-month data-driven probe has absolutely verified that the 2020 election was stolen. There is no question about it. Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA, the founder, they undertook this study, which was an incredible study. They hired 12 people who put in 16-hour days for 15 months, combing cell phone, geolocation data, surveillance videos, documents, and all of that stuff, and ferreting out all the dirty tricks. And they came down to this conclusion, that in analyzing voter records across the nation and all the investigation that this dozen did for 15 months, working ridiculously long days, they said, we have all the evidence necessary to prove at the level beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law that there were 4.8 million fraudulent votes. And those fraudulent votes were overwhelmingly located in target states of Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. The five swing states were swung by 4.8 million, or a large portion of 4.8 million fraudulent votes. The writer goes on to say that much of the evidence of criminal behavior now is absolutely indisputable. They cite that, for example, in Georgia, it was illegal for any person to place more than one ballot in a drop box unless that person has registered as what is called an assister, to assist in the balloting process. So in Gwinnett County, they have video footage of people with latex gloves stuffing multiple ballots in a drop box, then recording the deed with a photograph where there was actually no assisters registered for the election at all. All of them violating the law, all of them stuffing the ballot box, all of them on video. Fact. Fact-checking? Let's do some... You know why is it that the left is always talking about fact-checking, which is just they want to direct you to somewhere where they can throw in some spurious story that is not factual at all, but it's designed to detract you and send you in a different direction, assuming that you've heard the last and final word from a bona fide, verified party. Fact-checkers are just sort of left-wing whores there to distract you and turn you away from the truth. Where are the fact-checkers for this one? None. None whatsoever. Why isn't there the outrage? Why am I the only one getting outraged? Well, it doesn't stop there because there are just individuals that the media will not uncover and expose. Take BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors. Okay, so she helped raise what, $65 million. She lives now, bought with foundation nonprofit money. She lives, purchased a $6 million mansion in L.A. And she's in the news the other day because she's absolutely ticked off. She said, this is just not fair. She said, we are a victim. No, wait a second. You raise $60 million, you spend $6 million for your house. And why does she feel harassed? Because she got a notice from the Internal Revenue Service to fill out a form called 990, the 990 form. I filled out a ton of them. I've done work for nonprofits. It's a common annual form by the IRS that just is there. It's a basic document that the government requires for charities to show that they're and establish for the public some certain basic information about the organization that they may or may not give their money to. You know, I said they raised $60 million. I'm just reading my notes here. It was over $90 million they raised in 2020. $90 million. Well, the 990 form is to begin to find out more about an organization or whether you want to give money to it. But Patrice Cullors says this is a trigger. This triggers me. Why are they picking on me? You know why? First of all, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a scam. And second of all, you know that you weren't a charity. You know that this was just a political heist. This was a, what's the term? I can't even think what it's called. It's a shakedown. A shakedown of corporations to raise the $90 million. You know you're not, Patrice. You know you're nothing charitable about you, except you're charitable to yourself with the organization's money. But she said, it's such a trip now for me to hear the term 990. She said, why are they triggering me? Because the IRS has been weaponized against our organization. You clown. I mean, this is just... She said, I actually did not know what 990s were before all of this happened. But she said, this whole structure doesn't seem safe for us. This is like deeply unsafe. What's she doing, a Valley Girl impersonation here? This is like, man, deeply unsafe. This is being literally weaponized against us, against the people we work with. I'm quoting her. She said that the required forms and completing them could put her activists at risk. She said her group's morale would suffer if the people in it are being attacked and scrutinized at everything that they do. What? Cheat? Lie? Steal? Burn? Loot? Murder? The group's morale would suffer if they had to fill out. Do you know how short the 990 form takes? About 4 minutes to fill out. That's it. Sign it, send it in. End of story. She's triggered. She said, this is not safe. We're being targeted. We feel the IRS is being weaponized against us. Why are her activists being at risk, using her own words? For one reason. She knows that they were never a charity. They've always been a scam. Were from the beginning. Were now. And all of the stupid corporations that gave into the shakedown and forked over $90 million. What a waste of money. What a bunch of gutless CEOs at those corporations. You know, I wanted to finish with actually a really good piece here, and I'm running out of time. And it was a story on 10 times of these 10 different women in just the last 25 days use guns to protect themselves. Girls with guns. I love it. The great equalizer. 5'1", stilettos, whatever. I don't care what you're wearing. The guy's 6'5", 285. He's got fists. Don't tell me he's unarmed when he's got fists and you're a big person. Fists kill more people than anything else other than handguns. I think it's ahead of knives. But the big but is the girls, the women, trained. They're better shots than men. They actually hold their composure better in a tense situation. They can multitask. What a great gift from God in a tense situation where multiple things can be going on around you. Women, girls, listening to this program, get a gun, learn how to use it, how to clean it, how to end. You are now equalized. If you can carry it in your state, carry it. It is the great equalizer. You're on the same footing as some big lug of a thug, whoever it is coming. And people say, oh, well, just tell him to get mace. How does mace work when there's four guys trying to rape you, not just one? And, of course, they kill you sometimes afterwards because you're the only living witness that can put them away forever. They're after our guns. I will tell you, the day is coming much sooner than we think that states are going to have to pick up and go. They're going to have to pick up and leave. And before I close this out, I want you to be on the alert because I think I'm planning a special program. Before I do this once a week, but I think I have to fit another one in during this week. It is so timely. It is so important right on the heels of this. And it's going to be entitled Democrats, the Party of Perversion. I'm not going to have fun doing this, but what you're going to hear, if when you are done hearing this program, you don't pull every dime you can spare out of the bank to get your kids and your grandchildren out of government schools, you are not a good steward of the assets God has blessed you with. I know that's pretty strong talk, but I'm talking about your children and your grandchildren. The public schools need a permanent death knell. They need to go away. We need to get back to the Word of God as the principal reason why we have children learn to read. So they can, I mentioned it last week, the old Satan Deluder Act. There is not a greater gift you could give your children or grandchildren to get them out of a government school. The left only responds to a financial spanking. There are a lot of schools like California that they get X amount of dollars per pupil per day. Well, have 10% of them walk out, and you've just struck at the heartbeat, the heart of the government schools in California. Money. Money, money, money. Get them out. Get them out now. And as I've said, you may not think that you can afford this. I want to tell you, you cannot afford not to do it. I sacrificed greatly to make sure my kids did not have to endure a government education, because it would be my responsibility if they ended up being indoctrinated by the left and I lose them for life, because I would lose my children spiritually, emotionally. Guess what? I probably lose my grandchildren. Says in one of John's epistles, there's no greater joy than to see that your children walk in light, that they walk in truth. Make that verse come to life in your life. Rob Walter, encourage you to sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you down the road in a few days.